In those days, drinking was fairly common in Kabul. No one gave you a public lashing for it, but those Afghans who did drink did so in private, out of respect. People bought their scotch as medicine in brown paper bags from selected pharmacies. They would leave with the bag tucked out of sight, sometimes drawing furtive, disapproving glances from those who knew about the store's reputation for such transactions. We were upstairs in Baba's study, the smoking room, when I told him what Mullah Fatihullah Khan had taught us in class. Baba was pouring himself a whiskey from the bar he had built in the corner of the room. He listened, nodded, took a sip from his drink. Then he lowered himself into the leather sofa, put down his drink, and propped me up on his lap. I felt as if I were sitting on a pair of tree trunks. He took a deep breath and exhaled through his nose, the air hissing through his mustache for what seemed an eternity. I couldn't decide whether I wanted to hug him or leap from his lap in mortal fear. "I see you've confused what you're learning in school with actual education," he said in his thick voice. "But if what he said is true, then does it make you a sinner, Baba?" Baba crushed an ice cube between his teeth. "Do you want to know what your father thinks about sin?" "Yes." "Then I'll tell you," Baba said. "But first understand this, and understand it now, Amir. You'll never learn anything of value from those bearded idiots." "You mean Mullah Fatihullah Khan?" Baba gestured with his glass. The ice clinked. "I mean all of them. Piss on the beards of all those self-righteous monkeys." I began to giggle. The image of Baba pissing on the beard of any monkey, self-righteous or otherwise, was too much. "They do nothing but thumb their prayer beads and recite a book written in a tongue they don't even understand." He took a sip. "God help us all if Afghanistan ever falls in their hands." "But Mullah Fatihullah Khan seems nice," I managed between bursts of tittering. "So did Genghis Khan," Baba said. "But enough about that. You asked about sin, and I want to tell you. Are you listening?" "Yes," I said, pressing my lips together. But a chortle escaped through my nose and made a snorting sound. That got me giggling again. Baba's stony eyes bore into mine, and just like that, I wasn't laughing anymore. "I mean to speak to you man to man. Do you think you can handle that for once?" "Yes, Baba John," I muttered, marveling not for the first time at how badly Baba could sting me with so few words. We'd had a fleeting good moment. It wasn't often Baba talked to me, let alone on his lap, and I'd been a fool to waste it. "Good," Baba said, but his eyes wandered. "Now, no matter what the mullah teaches, there's only one sin, only one, and that is theft. Every other sin is a variation of theft. Do you understand that?" "No, Baba John," I said, desperately wishing I did. I didn't want to disappoint him again. Baba heaved a sigh of impatience. That stung too, because he was not an impatient man. I remembered all the times he didn't come home until after dark, all the times I ate dinner alone. I'd ask Ali where Baba was, when he was coming home, though I knew full well he was at the construction site, overlooking this, supervising that. Didn't that take patience? I already hated all the kids he was building the orphanage for. Sometimes, I wished they'd all died along with their parents.